This podcast is made possible by thousands of dedicated listeners just like you. Be a part of this powerful three-decade legacy of evangelization by visiting materdeiradio.com or downloading the Hail Mary Media app. And thank you for joining us on the bridge between your faith and everyday life.
Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish." Speaking to his flock in the Archdiocese of Portland in Oregon, we join Archbishop Alexander Sample as he reflects upon our faith, culture, and life in the church on The Voice of the Shepherd. Joining Archbishop Sample is your host, Dina Marie Hale. And now, The Voice of the Shepherd.
Greetings and welcome to The Voice of the Shepherd with His Excellency Archbishop Alexander Sample. And today I want to talk a little bit about confirmation, the work of the Holy Spirit, and also something that maybe not a lot of people hear about, the rite of election. And for me, somebody who works with a team at our parish for people coming into the church, being baptized, receiving confirmation, and receiving their first Holy Eucharist is a powerful next step into receiving the sacrament. So as we talk about the workings of the Holy Spirit, Archbishop, would you help guide us in prayer?
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of thy faithful, and kindle in them the fire of thy love. Send forth thy Spirit, and they shall be created, and thou shalt renew the face of the earth. Let us pray. O God, who does instruct the hearts of the faithful by the light of the Holy Spirit, grant that by the gifts of that same Spirit we may be always truly wise and ever rejoice in his consolations through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Amen. O Mary, conceived without sin.
Pray for us who have recourse to thee.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Well, let's start with the rite of election. This really is the season, for sure, the rite of election within the Lenten season. The season or the tour of confirmation continues to go on throughout the year. But because we're in this Lenten time, it's the next few weeks before people will come into the church at Easter Vigil, Lord willing. What is the rite of election? There's a book, there's a bishop, and there's a lot of people from the church who are on a journey.
Yeah, the rite of election is just one of those things, and it's always held on the first Sunday of Lent. And I have to say, it's one of those events, and I think I said this in my homily at the rites of election this year that I conducted. I think I can speak for every bishop in the world. When this is one of those events every year that we most look forward to. Because what this is these are the people who have been on this journey into the Catholic Church. Most of them maybe started the formation process sometime last fall, but some have been at it for even much longer than that. So these are people who have been on a journey into the Catholic Church. They've been receiving catechesis and formation in order to come in and become Catholic, basically. Now, some of these people have never been baptized. So they are going to be receiving all of the sacraments of initiation, baptism, confirmation, and the Holy Eucharist. Others were baptized. Perhaps they were baptized Protestant, and now they're becoming Catholic. Maybe they were even baptized Catholic, but not raised in the church. They just baptism, and that was pretty much it. So there's a whole range of people, and everybody's kind of got their own journey and story. But these are basically the people who are going to be coming into the Catholic Church at Easter, at the Easter Vigil this year. And what we do is we call them all together in dioceses that are, more geographically compact. You only do one. But because our archdiocese is so geographically, large, we do actually seven of these each year. I did four. Bishop Smith did three. I always try to get out and do the southern tour, as we say. And what we do is we call everybody together who are coming into the church in one gathering with their sponsors, with their catechists, with their pastors. And the bishop formally recognizes them as those who are to receive the Easter sacraments. So they are elected. It's called the rite of election. Now, technically, the elect are specifically the catechumens, those to be baptized. There are candidates for full communion who are already baptized, and we just recognize them as candidates for the full sacraments, whereas the catechumens are now elected by the bishop to undergo the sacraments of initiation at the Easter Vigil. So it brings them all together in one place with the bishop to celebrate the fact that now, during Lent, begins their final period of preparation for the Easter sacraments. And I just can tell you, there is so much joy and excitement because, you know, you might be one of, I don't know, three people in your tiny little parish who are coming into the church this Easter, but then you get together with hundreds of others from other parishes and you realize, wow, I'm part of something much bigger that's going on here. And I tell you something, the Holy Spirit, again, is on the move in Western Oregon. Our numbers that of those that went through the rite of election this year is much greater than last year. I think at last count, there were over 960 people across Western Oregon who went through the rite of election this weekend. And I think that compares to 700 and something last year. So this is a tremendous increase in the numbers. And quite honestly, not everybody is able to participate in the rite of election. So there is even more than that not coming in, or that we're not able to get to the rite of election, but are coming into the church at Easter. So the number's probably much closer to 1,000 people. I mean, that's amazing. And that's why I say it's one of the things a bishop looks forward to, because it's that sign of life and hope. And it's amazing that 2,000 years later, after Jesus called those first disciples and they said yes and followed him, 2,000 years later, Jesus still calls and people still respond to the call and follow him. Some are young. Many of these people, I had people go through the rite of election that are in their 80s this year. And you know, it's this at this stage of their life that is the time for them now to come into the church. So it's just, I can't say enough about it. I could go on and on and on about it. It's just wonderful.
I think it's exciting, and it is a sign of the Holy Spirit working for people who don't realize, like you mentioned, these people may have started in the fall and maybe even in the summertime. I know for us, we do some meetings in the summer. They come into the fall, but they're persistent, and if they come to the rite of election, they're determined. Yes, I do want to receive baptism. I do want to receive that gift of the Holy Spirit and the Holy Eucharist. I get to have an experience with Jesus Christ. There's a lot of bumps and along the road, but for people to be that persistent, I think, is an incredible gift of faith.
Well, you know, I tell people this at all the rites of election that, gosh, you know, I wish I could hear each and every one of your stories, because every story is unique. Mm-hmm. I mean, there are some similarities, but everybody's story is unique. And I do try to grab few. You know, at the reception afterwards, usually there's some picture taking. And especially if somebody, for whatever reason, you know, sort of piques my interest, I'll say, you know, what's your story? How did you discover the Catholic Church? You know, there were a lot of young people, you know, especially from some of our campus ministries. There are a lot of young people and these young adults. And I'm saying, you know, I also say, well, what's your religious background? Well, none. I was raised with nothing. It's like, well, okay, you have to tell me how you, as a young person, growing up with no religious training or spirituality, a church in secular Western Oregon, how did you discover Jesus Christ and the Catholic faith? And the stories are amazing. Yeah. And you know, the thing about it is, too, a lot of people get here to this point in their life after much suffering. And sometimes it's through that suffering that they find the mercy and the love of God. I spoke to one individual at a rite of election this year who had the most horrific story to tell me. And I, as this person was relating their story to me, I was just moved. I was kind of like, I can't believe this really happened to you. Great suffering. And yet here they are. Here they are, filled with joy. Because they've come to know the love of the Lord, and they've come to know the love of the Lord in a community of faith that is the church, and now they are preparing to become one of our brothers or sisters in the great communion of love, which is the church. I mean, it's just amazing how God works in people's lives, even through suffering, to bring them to faith.
Yeah. One of the things I want to have you comment on, Archbishop, because when I watch the people, and for most of these people, I would imagine this is the first time they've seen in person their bishop or archbishop. And we tell them in the class, we're trying to get them ready. Many times they get to go to the cathedral, but if they're living at a distance, we got gathered at our parish for our the Southern Deanery for this rite of election. But you get to shake the hand, get to know that person. And that's a big part of the rite, is for them, one, to sign the book, but also to just, here's the church. Mm-hmm. Here's our shepherd. Mm-hmm. And I think for you to be able to personally look at the eyes and the heart of each person, that says so much.
Oh, it's one of those moments. I mean, here in the Archdiocese of Portland, we did three at our cathedral church. I did one of them, but I started Saturday morning in Bandon on the south coast at Holy Trinity. And so the whole South Coast Vicariate came together for that one. That's the smallest one always. Then I shot over to Central Point for the Southern Oregon celebration, which we held at Shepherd of the Valley. So all those in Southern Oregon came together for that one. Then I shot up I-5 to Springfield, the Mid-Valley area. So everybody comes into Springfield. We went to St. Alice's in Springfield and then trucked it back to Portland for that 7 o'clock last rite of election at the cathedral. And that's the joy for me. I was tired, but it was a good tired. But it's just so life-giving because it's humbling too, mm-hmm. because, I think of myself as just being me. I am who I am. I don't think I'm special by any means. But for these folks to encounter their bishop, their spiritual father, the successor to the apostles, the one who comes now to officially recognize them and call them to the Easter sacraments and to full initiation into the church, knowing how much that means to them, and quite honestly, it's kind of humbling because some of them are actually kind of in awe, and that's like, oh, well, don't be in awe of me. It's just me. But it's the office. Mm-hmm. It's what I represent. I represent the church for them. And it's an incredible encounter for me to have with them as well, and to see their excitement and the joy. And as they're taking pictures, I would even dare say sometimes their giddiness, is just already almost like a feeling of the Holy Spirit being present and stirring. And I try to give them a real word of encouragement and just to help them realize, and this was kind of the main theme of my homily was, you might think you're here because you chose to be here today at this rite of election, but no, I got news for you. You're here because God chose you to be here. God called you here. You're here because God wanted you to be here. Yes, you had to do your part and you had to say yes and respond to his grace. But make no mistake about it. Mm-hmm. You're here because God has known you and loved you from all eternity. And he's called you to this moment for you right now. And he's here with you and will always be with you. And it just really is important, I think, for people today to hear that message. For all of us, not just those that are coming into the church.
Yeah, that you are chosen.
You are chosen.
He does call you by name.
Yeah, by name.
Let's talk a little bit about that sacrament, because confirmation, the gift of the Holy Spirit, I'm always reminded when I'm journeying with these people, maybe some who are coming, like you said, from no religious background, mm-hmm. some from some type of a Protestant background, the idea of sacraments is foreign. This idea, we talk about the Holy Spirit, but not in the way the Catholic Church teaches, mm-hmm. particularly in this sacrament of confirmation. We have baptism, we receive Holy Communion, and then confirmation, another gift of the Holy Spirit, comes. What's so important about that sacrament of confirmation?
Being sealed with the gift of the Holy Spirit in the sacrament of confirmation is really the culmination and the completion of our baptism, really. The proper order of the sacraments is baptism, then the sealing with the gift of the Holy Spirit, and then full communion with the Eucharist. Now, so for those adults who are coming into the church, whether that's through baptism or if they're already baptized through confirmation in the Eucharist, that's the order. At the Easter Vigil, we'll first baptize those that need to be baptized. Then We'll have the reception into full communion for those who are already baptized into the full communion of the church. Then we will seal with the gift of the Holy Spirit all of those, both those that have just been baptized and those that have just been received into the full communion of the church. And then everything culminates in their first reception of the Most Holy Eucharist. But typically, for those that are baptized as infants and raised in the Catholic Church, the order has been, you know, baptism, of course, and then, you know, usually around second grade or the age of reason, they receive their first Holy Communion, make their first confession. And then usually now in our archdiocese in seventh grade or so, they're confirmed and receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. But that gift of the Holy Spirit that we receive in confirmation is a real grace, and it's a real outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And I think people forget that, and I think they, especially when we're confirming our young people, it's kind of like this rite of passage for in the minds of some, or sort of, I guess you might call it kind of the Catholic version of a bar mitzvah, you know, or you know, even some kind of have this sort of graduation kind of approach to the sacrament of confirmation. All of that is not correct at all, because the sacrament imparts the gift of the Holy Spirit, an outpouring of the gift of the Holy Spirit. You know, that's one of the things we believe about the sacraments. You talked about how a lot of our Protestant brothers and sisters don't grow up with an understanding of the sacraments, but a sacrament effects what it symbolizes. In other words, the ritual of the sacrament actually does something. It actually imparts an actual grace. And in this case, the gift of confirmation, it's the gift of the Holy Spirit, the sealing of the Holy Spirit, and a sacramental character that forever marks the soul as one who has been sealed with this gift of the Holy Spirit. And with this comes the grace of the strength of the Holy Spirit in our life. It's an outpouring of the Spirit. Now, you know, I joke sometimes at confirmation, okay, I've been doing confirmations for 18 years as a bishop, and as happened on the day of Pentecost, I've yet to see, you know, the great sound of the great rushing wind, and I've yet to see tongues of fire appear and over the heads of those being confirmed. But I tell them, I said, but don't be fooled by that. Just because we don't see these extraordinary manifestations of the Holy Spirit that those first apostles experienced in the upper room on the day of Pentecost, the same gift of the Holy Spirit is being given to you. The same gift they received. The apostles were given the gift of the Holy Spirit in order to give it to others. The bishop, as the successor to the apostle, has received the gift of the Holy Spirit in order to give it to others, to those that he confirms. And so it's a real change in the soul of the person as they receive this outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And we can't leave these gifts dormant. We have to activate them in our lives. And that's sadly the thing that so many people do. We joke about it, and we kind of have this image of, yeah, okay, I get confirmed and I take those gifts of the Holy Spirit and I put them up on a shelf somewhere. No. We have to activate the gifts. We have to call upon the gifts of the Holy Spirit. How many of us as we go throughout our day pray to the Holy Spirit for whatever we might need in the moment? Maybe I need some, you know, what are the gifts of the Holy Spirit? We need those gifts. You know, sometimes I need understanding, mm-hmm. right? If I'm in a situation of confusion, I might need some understanding, or there's something that I'm lacking in knowledge. So I might need just some knowledge that the Holy Spirit wants to impart to me. Sometimes I need courage. I need fortitude. You know, I'm faced with a very difficult situation right now, and I need the strength of the Holy Spirit. You know, sometimes I'm not, you know, feeling very prayerful, so I need the gift of piety. You know, sometimes I'm a little attached to my sin and a little lukewarm, and maybe I need a little of the fear of the Lord. So as we go through our daily lives, as we face the various circumstances of our lives and the different needs in any moment in our life and the challenges of any moment in our life, these gifts are waiting for us there. We just need to call upon them and ask for the gifts, ask for the guidance of the Holy Spirit in any given moment, because we've received the gift.
Right.
And we should have confidence that when we pray to the Holy Spirit, that the gift we have received will be energized and activated, and we can be set afire in our life in that daily moment.
Absolutely. And that gift of the Holy Spirit, as in baptism, an indelible,
I love that word,
indelible mark.
So even if I don't feel fired up with the Holy Spirit, if I've been confirmed, if I've been baptized, it's there.
It's there.
But I do need to do something, ask. And it's not a rote prayer per se. I mean, we have the beautiful prayer of the Holy Spirit. But Archbishop, just to give people the green light, call upon the gifts of the Holy Spirit.
I mean, yes, we have formal prayers. We started this radio broadcast with kind of the traditional prayer for the coming of the Holy Spirit, but it needs to be a prayer of the heart.
Yes.
You know, it needs to be just a prayer from the heart, a cry, maybe sometimes in a moment of need, a crying out, you know. Or, you know, I take my time every morning in prayer, my day. I was thinking about that today. You know, it's weird how my day works. I mean, my morning is all taken up with the spiritual stuff. So before I even head out the door in the morning, all my spiritual foundation is laid for the day. So I spend the morning kind of in the spiritual mode. Then I go about my day and the work and the ministry that I'm given to do throughout the day. And then I kind of close my day then with taking care of the body, you know, and I got to exercise and keep the temple of the Holy Spirit healthy. But, you know, it's in that prayer sometimes in the morning, I know what I'm facing for the day. You know, I said this to somebody recently, and they said, wow, that is so simple. Why don't we share more stuff like this? But you know what I do in my prayer? And this is going to sound maybe, and I take my phone into prayer. Okay, now, that don't misunderstand me, folks. I'm not making calls from prayer. I'm not texting. I'm not surfing the web. I bring my phone into the chapel for two reasons only. Number one, that's where my timer is, because I just like to pray and close my eyes and not worry about watching my watch all the time. And I set it so that when my holy hour's up, it's up, and I know to move on. But also, you know what I do? I look at my calendar. I look at what happened yesterday. So I review my calendar from the day before, and I go through my day, and I think about all the encounters I had that day and all the things that need prayer, that I lift up in prayer. I met with this person and they're struggling with this. I pray for them. I had a meeting about this and that's a real challenge and I don't know what I'm going to do about that. And so, Holy Spirit, help me with that situation and make the right decision there, whatever it is. But then I look to the day ahead. What's coming up today? Oh, I've got a meeting with so-and-so later today. That's going to be a tough meeting. Holy Spirit, please give me the right words. Soften my heart. Or we're going to have a meeting with a group about this. You know, Holy Spirit, already now start to stir in the hearts of the people that are going to be coming to that meeting, put on their minds and their hearts what God wants us to do. So in other words, you know, we have to be conscious and intentional about praying for the guidance of the Holy Spirit. And I can tell you, since I've started doing this, that combined with the surrender novena for me and surrendering everything to Jesus and then under the guidance of the Holy Spirit, that's when things really started to happen.
Yeah. Well, and partially it's because you're not saying, oh, what is the Archbishop going to do about this? No, it's what does the Lord need to do through me in this relationship, in this conversation? Come, Holy Spirit, guide that. It's not me.
Yeah. You know, it's funny. It's funny that you say that because I was talking to my spiritual director recently, and I have to confess, I was expressing some frustration and discouragement. You know, I said, I'm so frustrated because I can't seem to get this going, or I can't seem to get that organized, or I'm discouraged because this is happening and I don't know what to do about that. And I'm kind of in a bad place here a little bit. And he reminded me, he said, think about all the things that have happened over the last 4 or 5 years that we've talked about. I've talked about them many times, and the things that are even happening in the Archdiocese and some great things. He says, how much of that did you make happen? And I was pulled up short, and I said, I really didn't have a whole lot to do with much of that. It was the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. He says, well, there you go. You know, stop trying to take control of things yourself. Stop trying to make things happen. Stop trying to surrender to human initiative. And trust the Holy Spirit. Trust Jesus. Put it in his hands. He hasn't let you down, you know, and he won't let you down. Mm-hmm. Just keep putting it in his hands and just sit back and watch what the Holy Spirit's going to do. I mean, we all have to do our part. Don't get me wrong. I'm not a complete pacifist. But, you know, this pressure we put on ourselves sometimes to figure it all out, sometimes we just need to surrender it to the Lord and trust that, you know, He'll give us the guidance in the Holy Spirit when it's needed, according to His plan and purpose, not ours.
Yeah. You know, just with a few moments that we have, we talked about the rite of election. We have, of course, the sacrament of confirmation. Many people this year preparing for that sacrament. But for those of us who are involved in, of course, their parents, their godparents, their sponsors, people within the parish that are helping to walk with these individuals preparing for the sacraments, how can we better accompany these folks on their way to embrace the sacraments?
Well, you know, I think we have to be very intentional about it. You know, it's not something that just happenstance. We have to be very intentional and make it happen. You know, a lot of times folks are chosen to be sponsors or godparents or padrinos because of some familial relationship or some friendship. In other words, it's a way of honoring the person who's asked to be a sponsor or a padrino or a godparent. That's not the role of a sponsor or a godparent or a padrino. The role is to be a fellow pilgrim along the way and to accompany this person in their life of faith, to continue to guide them, to continue to encourage them, to walk with them, to pray with them, maybe sometimes to challenge them. You know, I mean, godparents out there, padrinos, sponsors that are out there. I mean, have you sponsored for somebody for confirmation that is no longer practicing the faith? I guarantee you, some within earshot right now are going, yep. What have we done to reach out to those folks? Mm-hmm. What have we done to reach out to those young people as your sponsor? You know, we need to take that role very seriously as a parental role, as a sponsor. These are, we're sort of guides for the souls of these that we have sponsored in baptism or in confirmation. And we need to take that role very seriously. It's not just something that's a nice photo op at confirmation or at the Easter vigil. It's a lifelong commitment to accompany that person on their journey of faith.
And the good news is the Holy Spirit is with us lifelong. So let's continue to Amen. Keep calling out for the Holy Spirit. And with that, would you help us close with a blessing?
Yes. And may the blessing of Almighty God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit come down upon all of you, your families, your loved ones, and upon all those you have sponsored, and be with you this day and forever. Amen.
Amen. And as always, we want to thank you for joining us on this episode of The Voice of the Shepherd. For Archbishop Alexander Sample, I'm Dina Marie. Until our next encounter, may God bless you.
You've been listening to The Voice of the Shepherd with Archbishop Alexander Sample, a production of the Archdiocese of Portland in Oregon. To subscribe to this podcast and access to all of our past shows, visit moderndayradio.com. Please email your comments and questions for the show to info@archdpdx.org. Learn more about the Archdiocese of Portland in Oregon online at archdpdx.org. Peace be with you.
If you enjoyed this podcast, please consider sharing it with a friend. You can support this vital mission of evangelization through MaterDayRadio.com or the Hail Mary Media app. And thank you for helping us lead souls to Jesus through the Blessed Virgin Mary.